take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 9. We're going to talk and hopefully cover the whole chapter. I think we can get through it, although there's 57 verses, if I remember right. Yeah, 57 verses in the chapter, but I've divided it up into big chunks. And this is the story. You know, so far in the book of Judges, every judge that we've seen has been appointed by God. I mean, the people of Israel have turned away from God. They started worshiping idols. To get their attention, God sent an oppressing nation in and oppressed his people. They turned back to him, and then he raised up a judge to overthrow the oppressor. And after each of those judges for a while, the people stayed true to him, but then they turned away from him again, and the cycle started again. Well, tonight, we're not going to meet a judge, but we're going to meet a king. A king that God did not ordain, a king that was self-appointed. And a king whose story is not as familiar as some in the Bible, but it's a story that was known to the Jews. Because I will tell you that David's general, Joab, referred to this story. And when David had sent instructions to him to kill Uriah, and Joab had stationed some men close to the city wall that they were attacking. And not only was Uriah killed, but there were some other soldiers killed. And Joab was getting ready to send a messenger back to David to give him a report on the battle. And he said, "Now, I know when you tell the king that some of his soldiers were killed, he's going to ask you why you let him get so close to the city wall. And he's going to say, don't you remember the story about Abimelech?" Because we're going to see tonight that Abimelech got too close to the wall and got killed as a result of that. And you that know the story, Juanita, what's the matter? Did Ray say something? Sun too bright? Okay. Brother Ray, it looks weird. Move over there close to her. Please. Otherwise, I'll be distracted all night. All right, thank you. But Abimelech got too close to a wall, and I'll just tell you, a woman took a piece of a millstone, threw it out of a tower, cracked open his skull, and he was in the process of dying when he had his servant run a sword through him. So this was a story that the Jews knew. King David knew about this, and they planned their battle strategy, and knowing not that they shouldn't get too close to the wall as they were attacking a city. So we're going to talk about his story, and again, it's an interesting story, but I just want to remind you of some facts about the story that we just finished about Gideon, because the story of Abimelech sort of takes off from where the story of Gideon leaves off. So let me just remind you of a few things about Gideon. Gideon was also called Jerubbaal. That was the name his father gave him when he tore down the altar of Baal at the angel of the Lord's instruction. And it was sort of a swipe at the god Baal. Because you remember, the men of the city wanted to kill Gideon because he tore down this altar. And his father said, who by the way, it was his father's altar to Baal, but his father defended his son and says, "Well, if Baal's really a god, then we don't need to defend him. He can take care of himself." And so he called Gideon by a name, and he's referred to it in this chapter, Jerubbaal. Okay. After Gideon won the victory, or God won the victory with Gideon as the general over the Midianites, the Israelites wanted Gideon to be the king. Said, "You and your sons rule over us." And Gideon refused. He says, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Okay, so I want you to remember that as we talk about Abimelech. As we read last week, Gideon had many wives, and they bore him 70 sons. Okay, so he had 70 sons. He also had a concubine in Shechem that bore him a son named Abimelech. He's the one we're going to talk about tonight. I would remind you that Shechem was a city in the tribe of Ephraim. As you remember, when we talked about Gideon, Gideon was of the tribe of Manasseh. And even though Ephraim and Manasseh were brothers, they both were sons of Joseph, the two tribes didn't get along. They both vied for prominence among the tribes. You remember, even in the story of Gideon, the Ephraimites chided Gideon when he didn't ask them to go to war at the beginning of the battle against the Midianites. They said, you know, why didn't you call us? And we talked about that a little bit. When Gideon was dead, right after he died, the children of Israel immediately turned away from God. There wasn't any period of time where they'd stay true to God. I mean, we read about it in verse 33 of chapter 8, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-Bereth their god. Now, some think this was a female version of the god Baal, okay? So they turned again to this false god. And then we read last week, we sort of finished up the chapter by saying that the children of Israel showed no kindness to the family of Gideon. Even though they had been under the oppression of the Midianites for 7 years, and again, you remember it was total oppression, they came in and stole everything. And you would think that after Gideon had led the Israelites to overcome Midian, that they would have showed his family some kindness. But we'll see tonight that they showed him no kindness. Okay, let's look at chapter 9. I'm going to read the first six verses to get us started. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, again Gideon, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it's better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver, in other words, 70 pieces of silver, out of the house of Baal-Bereth, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and he slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons, in other words, 70 sons, upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And the men of Shechem gathered themselves and all the house of Millo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So let me just tell you this story. So again, his mother was from Shechem, a city in Ephraim. And so he went back to the town of his mother, and he talked to his mother's brethren, so his uncles, and he talked to all the men of the house of his grandfather, his mother's father, his grandfather. And he said, now you know, Gideon has 7 sons. What's going to be better? Is it going to be better that these 70 people rule over you? And by the way, we have no indication that any of them wanted to rule over the Israelites. I mean, I think, as I read this chapter, they agreed with their father when Gideon said, I'm not going to rule over you, and none of my sons are going to rule over you. God's going to rule over you. And when God gets ready to raise up another judge, he'll do that. Or when God gets ready to raise up a king, he'll do that. But until that time, you don't need me, you don't need any of my sons to be rule over you. God's going to take care of that. He's going to fill that role. But Elimelech planted this thought in the men of Shechem. Now, these guys are going to rule over it. Now, is that better for 70 people to rule over you or for one? And his point was better for one. And by the way, what he said was, I should be the one because I'm a son of Gideon, but I'm also related to you. I mean, you know, my mother's from this town. And if you appointed me king, you got to sort of read between the lines. If you appoint me king, we'll make Shechem the capital city. And because we're related, I'll make sure as king, I'll take care of you. I mean, I'll look very favorable on my brethren. And again, no indication that any of Gideon's son wants to rule. And there's absolutely no indication that God wanted this guy to rule. I mean, we'll see in a few minutes that he did some things that you would have to say he's not qualified to be the ruler in Israel. And so his uncles and the men of his grandfather's house, which I assume would include his uncles, talked to all the men of Shechem and told them this story. Hey, you know, we got one of our own that we could appoint a king, and he'll take care of us if we do that. And so they bought his story, hook, line, and sinker. And we read in those verses that they gave him 70 pieces of silver, and they took it out of the house of their God. Now, it could have been one of two things. It could have been that they used the house of their God like their bank, so to speak. That even they took their money and they put it in the house of their God for safekeeping, and while it was there for safekeeping, they asked their God to bless it. Or it could have been that they took some of the actual offering that they offered to their God and said, well, we're going to give it to Elimelech so that he can do what he needs to do with it. Doesn't matter which it is. The fact that he took money from the house of this idol God should tell us right off that he in no way should have been the king of Israel. Should have nothing to do with money that came from the temple of a false god. And look at what he did with the money. The Bible says he took these 70 pieces of silver and the word that they use, vain and light persons. Okay? So let me just tell you what that means. It means that they were sort of conceited like he was. They were braggarts, vain. And light means they didn't have much smarts. That's exactly what it means. And so they fell under the spell of this guy, and he was able to manipulate them. And what he did with these men that he hired with these 70 pieces of silver is that he went to Ophrah, Gideon's hometown, and he got the 70 sons of Gideon and brought them to one stone and killed them all on that one stone. So I don't know if it doesn't say, I don't know if they beheaded them on that one stone or if they just put them on a stone and stabbed them through with their swords or spears. But again, just notice, for one piece of, the life of those 70 men were taken by a piece of silver apiece. He got 70 pieces of silver, and he killed, not 70, 69, because the youngest, Jotham, escaped. But he valued the life of his brothers at a piece of silver. When all his brothers were killed, the men of Shechem got together, and it says they're the men of Milo. Now, what that means is that when it talks about the men of Shechem, it's probably talking about the rulers of the city, the magistrates of the city, those that were sort of in power. And the house of Milo is the common working class people of the city of Shechem. Okay, so it was the same city, they just referred to him in two different ways. But all the people came together and they took him out and made him king. Okay, and again, you would think because he killed his brothers, because he took money from the house of God, you would think that somebody would rise up in the nation of Israel and say, we do not want this man to be our king. But you read of no reaction. I mean, the rest of the tribes of Israel just stood by and let this happen. There was no reaction to the fact that he took money from this false god. There was no reaction to him killing his brothers. They just stood by and let it happen. Now, let me just make a point. The biggest sin in America today is not what we do. Although there's some pretty big sins that we do, the biggest sin in America today is when we stand by and let things happen. That's the biggest sin. We are standing by and letting things happen that we as Christians should rise up with holy indignation and say, no, this is not right. And yet we're doing the same thing that the rest of the tribes of Israel did, because they saw all this happening, and there's no record of any other tribe rising up and say, this guy's not going to be our king. They did just not anoint him the king of Shechem. He was king over the whole nation. And the rest of the tribes just let it happen. All right, look at verse 7. And when it was told, and when they told it to Jotham, and again, he was the youngest, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. So he'd heard his brothers had been killed. He'd heard that they anointed him king. He went to the top of this mountain, and the books that I've read said that the men of Shechem were gathered for a religious festival down at the bottom of this mountain. And when they heard this Jotham speak, and when he said, hey, listen unto me, that God will listen unto you, he got their attention. And when he got their attention, he told them a story. Verse 8, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And so they asked the olive tree, you be our king. He said, hey, I make oil, and this oil is used to bless God and bless man. Should I give that up to be the king? I don't think so. And the tree said to the fig tree, come down and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Any of you ever eaten figs? How many of you ever eaten a fig? Just one? Not very many. Oh, figs are good. You never had fig preserve? Man, you haven't lived until you had fig preserves on a hot biscuit with butter. We're going to have to get some figs, Brother Gary, and have a breakfast so more people can have some figs. But, huh? Okay, good. We'll get some fig preserves and have some biscuits. But again, the trees came to the fig tree. Hey, we want you to be our king. He said, well, I produce a sweet fruit. I mean, good fruit. And you want me to give that up to be your king? I don't think so. Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? So they went to the vine, the grapevine, said, will you be our king? He said, no. The vine said, no, I'm not going to be. I produce these grapes that make the wine that cheereth God and man. And you want me to give that up to be your king? I don't think so. And so they all said, no. Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. Bramble's just a thorny bush, okay? Good for nothing except to be burned, okay? And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Now, bramble doesn't cast much of a shadow. I mean, it's just a bush. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So he told them this story. Now he's going to make the application. Now, therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, in other words, if you've done right in that ye have made Abimelech king, and ye have dealt well with Jeroboam and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands. In other words, if you've treated Gideon right, I mean, if he's deserved what you've done to him, and then he goes on to say, And you really didn't treat him right, because it says, my father fought for you and pre-adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hands of the Midianites. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons, 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jeroboam and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. So what he was saying is, now, if what you've done is right, Okay? I mean, if you've treated Gideon right and you've made Abimelech king, if you've done that truly and sincerely. Now, the only qualifications he had is that he is Gideon's, one of Gideon's sons, but that's not really why you made him king. You made him king because he's related to you. But if you've done right in what you've done, then you enjoy the king you got and let him enjoy his people. Okay? But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. He's saying, now if you did right, then enjoy what you got. But what he's implying is you didn't do right. And if you didn't do right, I'll just tell you what's going to happen. You're going to burn each other up. Let fire come out from the king and burn you up. Let fire come out from you and burn the king up. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. So he gave this prophecy, sort of gave this curse to the people, said, hey, if you've done right, hope you enjoy what you got. But you haven't done right, there's a price that's going to be paid. Verse 22. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. So the honeymoon lasted for 3 years. The relationship lasted for 3 years. Then God, verse 23, sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Notice what it says. God sent an evil spirit between them. God's not the author of evil. God is not the author of evil. Satan is. And much of the time, God restrains Satan. God can do that. He said, no, you're not going to do this. But sometimes God removes his restraint and says, okay, Satan, you can have your way with these people. And that's what he did here. He removed their constraint, and he let Satan go in and work between Abimelech and the people of Shechem, and they dealt treacherously with him. In other words, they quit supporting him. In fact, they laid wait to kill him. Let me just go down a little bit. Verse 24, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jeroboam might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. Now, verse 25. And the men of Shechem set liers in wait for him in the top of the mountains. In other words, they waited along the road, ready to kill Abimelech when he traveled down that road. Now, he didn't, and when he didn't come, they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. And so they wanted to kill the king. When he didn't come and they could kill him, they just began a bunch of civil disobedience and began robbing people that traveled that road. Okay. Verse 26. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. Now, that Gaal, the son of Ebed, and that name Ebed means a servant. So now what you're going to see here is you got a bramble fighting a bramble. You got a son of a concubine fighting a son of a servant. Neither one of them appointed by God to be king. Neither one of them appointed by God to be leader. But Gaal comes to the city of Shechem and said, and they were already looking for an excuse to get rid of Abimelech. And the Bible says they put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trolled the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And so he came into Shechem and basically went and devastated the country. Harvested their crops, crushed their grapes, went into the house of their God, had a good time, and cursed this one that they had made king. And notice what it says in verse 28. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul, his officer? Zebul was the ruler of Shechem. Serve the men of Hamar, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech and He said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. So Gaal comes into the city and said, now look, why should we serve Abimelech? I mean, if I were the king, I would get rid of him for you. The men of Shechem wanted to get rid of him already because God had sent an evil spirit between them and Abimelech. And so he says, hey, put me in charge. I'll get rid of this guy for you. And then he issues a challenge to Abimelech. He says, hey, get your army together and come on, let's fight. Let's have it out. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled, so the ruler of the city heard his challenge, and he sent messengers to Abimelech, verse 31, privately or privily saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren become to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. They're raising a revolt against you. They want to get rid of you as king. So here's what you do. Come by night, verse 32, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And he says, in the morning, the next morning, as soon as the sun is up, rise up early and set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as they shall find occasion. In other words, bring your army by night, lay wait in the field. When the sun comes up, come against the city, and when they come out, attack them and kill them. So Abimelech did that. He rose up, verse 34, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. So he divided his army into four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up and the people that were with him from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, behold, they're come down from the top of the mountains. In other words, he saw the army coming. And Zebul said, no. If you read the last part of verse 36 there, he said, no, you're not seeing an army. You're just seeing the shadows from the mountain. Zebul wanted to get Abimelech more time to get there. And Gaal spake again, saying, no, see, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonim. Then said Zebul unto him, now he's going to taunt this guy. He said, hey, okay, big mouth, you challenged Abimelech to come and raise up his army. He's here. What you going to do about it? It would have been better for Gaal to stay in the city. He might have survived. But Zebul said, now you issued the challenge. You said we should put our trust in you and you get rid of this guy for us, and you challenged him to come. Now what are you going to do? Well, Gaal had no choice. He said, and Gaal went out, verse 39, before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even until the entering of the gate. And so they fought. Gaal lost. Abimelech won. And because he won, and let me speed things up a little bit. You can read the rest of it when you get home, but let me speed things up a little bit. He says, okay, now that I've defeated this guy, I'm going to take the city of Shechem. You wanted to get rid of me? I'll get rid of you. And so his army went into the city of Shechem and began to attack the city of Shechem and began to kill the men of Shechem. Well, they saw they were going to be beat, the men of Shechem. So they went into the house of their god, this false god, where there was a tower, okay? And there were about 1,000 men and women that took refuge in that tower. They said, well, we're in the house of God. Our God will protect us. And if our God doesn't protect us, we'll survive in this tower. Well, Abimelech saw what was happening, and he got an axe, and he said to the rest of his soldiers, same thing that Gideon said. Remember when Gideon got ready to blow the trumpet and break the pitcher? He told the 300 men, watch what I do and do the same thing I did. I do, blow the trumpet, break the pitcher. Abimelech said, watch what I do, and you guys do the same thing that I'm doing. So he took an axe, went to a tree, cut a limb off a tree, carried it to the base of the tower. All the soldiers did the same thing. They set those limbs on fire, and the smoke filled the tower and started to burn the tower, and 1,000 men and women died in that tower. Okay? Now, starting in verse 50, we read the story of another little city named Thebes. It was a little city near Shechem that was an ally of Shechem that probably aided them when they wanted to get rid of Abimelech. And so Abimelech says, I killed Gaal. I took Shechem. I'm going after Thebes too. I'm going to take that city. So he goes to attack the city of Thebes. Now, in Thebes, they also have a tower. And so as Abimelech approaches the city, the men and women of Thebes gather in their tower. Abimelech said, well, it worked in Shechem. I'm going to do the same thing here. So he got an axe. He cut down a limb. He took it to the base of that tower, asked all his men to do the same thing. He said, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to set the tower on fire. We're going to smoke them out and kill them all. But before they could accomplish what they did in Shechem, the Bible says that there was a woman that took a piece of a millstone. Now, a millstone was a big stone they used to grind their grain. Not the whole thing, but just a piece of it. And she dropped it out of the tower. It hit Abimelech in the head and cracked his skull. Crushed his skull. He knew he was dying. And he was still a proud man. He says, I don't want it to be known that a woman killed me. So he called a servant. Now, I'm sure he was thinking about, Sisera. Remember Sisera, the general who Jael drove the tent stake through his head when he was sleeping? He said, I don't want to be known like Sisera. So he called his servant. He said, hey, take your sword and run me through. Kill me. Because I don't want it to be known that a woman killed me. And so a servant ran his sword through and killed him. But we still read in the book today, he was killed by a woman. So regardless of what he tried to do, he couldn't escape that fate of knowing that he was killed by a woman. Then look at verse 56. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. So, again, Jotham has said, hey, if you've done right, then enjoy what you have. But if you haven't done right, then fire's going to come and it's going to burn each other up. Well, that's exactly what happened to the men of Shechem. They got burned in that tower. And figuratively, that's what happened to Abimelech. He didn't get burned up, but a woman dropped a stone on his head and crushed his skull. And again, proving or what Jotham said was right. You didn't do right. You didn't do right. You didn't treat Gideon right. You didn't treat his sons right. I mean, he risked his life. He put his life in danger to free you from the Midianites. And again, God, he may not do it immediately, but God will take care of his people. He will. He'll take care of his people. And it's when his people are treated badly by others, and that's why the Bible says, hey, don't take revenge. Leave revenge up to God. Just leave it. God, it's always better to leave revenge up to God because he always gets them better than we can. He does. He does. And so again, an exciting story about a man that says, well, I'll appoint myself to be king. And he was not blessed by God. Now, did they need a judge? Yeah, they needed a judge because they'd already turned away from God. They'd already turned to worship false gods. But this guy wasn't the one. He wasn't the one that God appointed. Wasn't the one that God wanted. God always has a person ready to step in. And we just need to make sure that if we're not the one, we get out of his way and let him do what he knows to do. All right, glad you were here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.